Your season-long fantasy football team, may be going strong, but you don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test every week this season at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. With one-week fantasy, there's no season-long commitments. You're in, you're out. Player gets injured, no problem, no problemo. It's like a new season every week, so you're never stuck with the same players. Just bail. Get this. DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season. Millionaire. Million is good, and air is also good. You breathe it. That means you could turn your love of football into the payday of a lifetime. Put your skills to the test. Pick your players, pile up the points, pick up your cash. That's it. A lot of P's in that sentence. Puh. Believe me, you've never experienced fantasy football like this before. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code LAUGH, L-A-U-G-H. Play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest where first place takes home 100 grand. Enter LAUGH for free entry now. That lets them know that you're one of my guys or ladies. DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com. You don't have to spell the dot, just use a period. You don't have to spell the period. It looks like a little ding, like a dot. DraftKings.com. I mean, come on. That's what the com means. DraftKings.com on. I mean, how much better is .com than .net? I've never respected .net. .com is awesome. Promo code LAUGH. And without further ado, here's another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh?
Why didn't they laugh?
You suck!
That's not funny.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin, and I'm going to talk super smooth today, like very late night radio. All you people out there just feeling really sexy and comfortable. I can't keep that up. That would be very tedious. A couple episodes ago, there was an episode I did called Ninja Pirate, where I did a long story about being a little kid, getting shot in the eye with a BB gun. And because I wanted to try something new on the podcast, I like listening to some of these Radio Labs and stuff like that, some of these podcast with these long stories. So I wanted to try my own story and have ups and downs in first, second, third acts. And it was fun. And I ended up doing that story on stage the other night because my friend has a show called The Goddamn Comedy Jam, which is a blast. It's where comedians sing actual rock songs with a real band. And the thing is, you have to tell a story before you sing the song. And so the night I did it was with Jim Jeffries and David Koechner, two very, very great comedians, and they both did great songs. And so my story for my song, guess what? Turned out to be the one from my Ninja Pirate episode. Because I'm going to play it for you guys. I have the audio from the show. There's you know, the audio could be better, but it's a magical experience. I just wanted to show that process of like something that I never expected to do on stage ever. And then the opportunity presented itself. And so, yeah. And I really like the song that I played, and I hope you guys too, especially if you live through 1989 and you have a heart and you have a soul and you give a damn about America. All right, here we go. This is from the Goddamn Comedy Jam.
So anyway, I was a fat kid. I always wanted to be a pirate. Both my parents are college professors, and they don't make any money. College professors have no money, but they're doctors, but they make less than Walmart employees. So we didn't have a television. We had a piano, no TV, and I had a lot of dreams, no friends. My mom made my clothes. She made me my pair of corduroy pants. Actually, they're velour. Yeah, and my sweet, tight little ass. And she put high on one pocket and buy on the other. That's how I was supposed to make friends. I'm supposed to go hi and then bye. Because they were trusting people. And we moved to this like industrial town with 3 nuclear power plants and 10,000 people. You know, it was like the Hunger Games. It's District 12, but they didn't know that. So they made this little angel. And they sent me off into the world, you know? And they're like, trust people. Everyone is good. And I'm like, okay. So I try to make a friend. And because I was alone all the time. That's why I'm good at certain shit. Like people are like, oh, you play the piano. I'm like, yeah, it's pure loneliness. 12 hours a day I play the piano. You guys get it. You're from Maine. He's from Maine. He gets it. So I dreamed of being a pirate. I used to read pirate books, ninja. I went through a ninja phase. I just wanted to be like a lone gun, you know, on the high seas. And then I realized that a pirate needed a crew. So I tried to make a friend. I had a neighbor. He was several years older than me, but I didn't give a shit. I was ready to do it. I was a paper boy of the year twice. I had fucking bank. I was funded. I could buy fucking weapons. So I go over to this dude. His name's Timmy, and he had a garage, and all the kids were playing in there, and I was wearing my corduroy pants. And I knock on the window, and I'm like looking in. I'm like, hey, Timmy. And next thing I know, it's just... He fucking shot me in the face with a BB gun, right? Specifically the eye part of the face. So a fucking BB went through the window, into my eye. Piece of glass went into my eye. Blood just starts fucking shooting everywhere. Yeah. No, it ends okay. Look at me. I'm a 6'7 legend. Look at that. It ends fine. This is the third act. So just be okay. So fucking blood's flying all over the place. I'm covered in blood. I run home. And my mom... I tell my mom, and she calls the cops, and the cops, because my mom had just left for like 3 minutes to get milk, and the cops said, where was the mother? And that sent my mom on a spiral where we quit the Catholic Church and got into paganism. That's a whole other story, because where's the mother? Where's the fucking father? She went down this whole rabbit hole. It's 1989, there was no Whole Foods to chill everyone out. So I'm just covered in blood. I go to the hospital. They say I'm going to go blind in my right eye. But they ended up taking the piece of glass out. Because every time I'd look around, it would cut my eye. But they fucking got the glass out. I didn't go blind. But guess what I ended up with? A fucking patch over my eye. So I actually became a pirate. Yeah. And so I went to school. And all the kids were like, Owen's a pirate. And they didn't know how happy it made me. And they tried to make fun of me. They played a game called Kick the Pirate, where the game was just kicking me. And I fucking loved it. And that's when I also realized I like laughter. So unless I got shot, I wouldn't have lived my dream as a pirate, and I also wouldn't have probably become a comedian, because this song was my favorite song that year. It was 1989. I used to listen to this shit all the time. And it kind of sums up a lot about life. You know, when you think things go wrong, but things go right, there's always another side. Any Asians here? Yin Yang? You guys get it. So this song is dedicated to the concept of Asians and that you don't always know what's coming down the pipe.
Did my words not come out right? No, I tried not to hurt you, though I tried. And I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Listen to my favorite song playing on the radio. The DJ said there's a game of easy come and easy go. But I wonder
Does she know? Does it ever feel like this? And I tried not to something, forgot that part, but I guess that's why they say. Just like every night has its dawn. Just like every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. So it's been a while now, I can still feel so much pain. Like a knife that cuts in the wound heals, but that scar ways. Oh yeah, now I heard you found somebody new, and that I never meant that much to you. To hear that cuts me as a man, and a suck, fuck, suck, fuck, suck, fuck, suck. I guess every road that we took, just like every night as it's gone, just like every
Yeah, that,
it's a tall drink of water, baby.
That was super fun. Because I think most comedians at some point wanted to know what it was like to feel like being a rock star, and that felt really good. But being a comedian is way more fun, though. I mean, that was really fun at the time, but if I was an actual rock star, I'd get super bored. Because there's nothing better than... Because with comedy, it's like your brain gets so engaged. With... being a rock star, you just kind of, which leads me to an email someone wrote to me. By the way, you can always write to me at whydidn'ttheylaughpodcast@gmail.com. This is exactly what I'm talking about with rock. Okay, so Chris writes me from England. Love the podcast. Listen to the first 30 episodes in just over a week. That's a great pace, Chris. You're the man. Okay, or woman. I don't know. Chris is ambiguous. But anyway. This is hilarious. Episode 31, you're talking about songs that are really creepy. I'm guessing that Chris is referring to my episode about how love songs, the ones that culture has deemed love, to me are funnier and crazier than what I play that people find comedic. All right, anyway, he says, One Direction, What Makes You Beautiful? Thousands of girls dancing to this. The quote is, you don't know you're beautiful, that's what makes you beautiful. That crap is about taking advantage of girls with low self-esteem. Greetings from the UK, Chris. That made me laugh so hard, Chris. It's so true. The fact that the woman doesn't know her self-worth is what makes her beautiful. That is some deep, twisted stuff. You think you're dumb, and that's why I think I can have sex with you. Yikes. So anyway, my brother came in last night. He came in hot. And so I recorded his story that he first told. His plane was late, so I couldn't get him because we're all at dinner. So he got a ride from a stranger. I mean, I had a taxi set up for him or something, but he chose to take a ride from a stranger, and he told the story. And for those of you that have heard my stand up about my brother, where he sees the best in everyone, where like he gets really fired up about new people. I mean, this is to the max. So check this out.
So brother, tell me about this dude that just drove you here.
I was just dead quiet.
All right, so I get talking to the guy for a minute. We're just saying
were you
hello. Yeah, we were buddies. We're neighbors. But that's what we called each other. We didn't know each other's name until 2 hours. So I don't know. One thing led to another. He said he was in the Air Force. You know, where are you from? A 25-year Air Force. And they didn't think they could have children, and they had one at 40. They went to Vegas, and she said she drank the water or something. I said, where are you from? And then he starts telling me this guy's like, oh, because I'm reading that book, Boys in the Boat. Have you read it?
Yes.
So I'm reading this like book about hardship and people getting through all this intense like adversity. This guy's like, I'm like, well, where are you from? He's like, North Carolina. I'm like, what was it like there growing up? He's like, well, you know, we lived in this like shack, literally a shack, no electricity till 7, had to like hang tobacco, pick cotton. He's like, you know, they gave you 8 cents a pound for tobacco. And, you know, so shoot, man, you know how long it takes to pick a pound of tobacco? You have to like get some rocks in there sometime, you know, try to sneak in a rock or two. Like literally the most incredible. They used to like crap out of the tree, out of the chicken coop. They didn't have an outhouse. They didn't have a bathroom. He didn't get electricity till 7, and then his Uncle Dave. His Uncle Dave, this is gonna get morbid, but like the Uncle Dave killed the grandfather and then killed his own brother and then stabbed his dad in the shoulder.
And he's the dude who just gave you a ride from the airport.
No, but he got out of there. Because that was
because if he didn't, he wouldn't be still there. Like,
no, but he was like, I got out of there. Maybe, yeah, probably. Because then the uncle burned the house down that he lived in. After burning down his own house for like something about a clock, now he has the clock. It just like it went on.
You're like, this dude, I'm definitely getting in his car.
I was like, yeah. This guy was in the Air Force for 25 years, and he's like, he flew, you know, he flew Dick Cheney all over, President Bush, Noriega. When they got Noriega, he was getting shot at. He had the Pope to the embed. Dude, this guy made the ride so good. I'm like, you're a pilot? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, could you fly the plane? He said, yeah. I was like, so if anything might happen, you got this? He's like, well, if the engine catches on fire, probably not. But, you know, yeah, I could take this thing down. I'm like, yeah, awesome. And then, so the whole time when moves happen, I'm like, why did that happen?
Oh, yeah, what did he say? Any good knowledge?
Dude, yeah, you have to watch your control panel.
Really?
Everyone has to watch the control panel.
So sometimes those bumps are bad.
Dude, his buddies, like, died because they were in Egypt, apparently. Like, there's no horizon at night, so, like, if you don't keep your eye on certain shit, like things can go really bad. And he's like, man, someone's got to be watching the control panel at all times. I'm like,
that's how John Kennedy died.
Yeah.
You got to watch the control panel.
Yeah.
And so while he was driving in the car, I'm like, is this control panel solid? Like, you got this? And his kid is not, dude, his kid's like a car expert.
Was that his kid?
Yeah. And he's all about, I'm like, you know, do you have like a radar detector? Like for cops? He's like, yeah, it's called Florit.
Yeah.
Like he's a car with 1,700 horsepower.
Oh my gosh.
Nitros and I'm like, he's like, yeah, you know, I've had it up to 195. I'm like, you're telling your mom this? She's like, my hair used to be white. But he used to date, he like went out with the lady, the guy who grew up in the chicken coop with no shoes and didn't have electricity until he was 7. And then when they got electricity, that burned the house down.
Yeah. I thought the uncle burned the house down.
The uncle burned the other house down.
Oh, yeah.
And then put a knife through.
I feel like statistically, this man has been proven a liar.
No.
No. Dude, he's some.
I'm just kidding.
He's some North Carolina, bro. Like, yeah. Deep south. Like, he used to pick. Like, and then he'd puke all night from picking tobacco and hanging it up, and then they'd have to smoke it and they'd sell it to try to make any kind of money at all. He's like 6 years old. I'm like, dude, you're like an Olympian from the
30s. Yeah.
Like, he's like those
super boys in the boat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's like that Louis Zampardelli, the Unbroken guy.
Oh, yeah.
They mention him in this book. Do you read Boys in the Boat?
Yeah, I have read it.
I'm like tearing, like, every 15 minutes, it's like I'm.
Yes.
I'm like, I wish I was abandoned more as a child and forced to split wood when I was young. I wish that.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Somebody was not watching the control panel.
Okay, I know the audio wasn't great on that, but I had to record it on the fly because it's pretty rare that you get my brother coming in that hot. It's actually not that rare. But there's no way I could then guide him to like a good microphone or a restaurant. I think the guy was a liar. I don't know. I'm not going to put him down though, because he did get my brother safely from the airport to the restaurant. But I just don't think those stories would add up in a court of law. A lot of ins and outs. And I don't know why I care. Because after I stopped recording, we debated why it matters. Like, does it matter if he's lying? Or can we all just appreciate the story? I think it matters. But then again, I've been called an asshole. All right, guys, I'm at Brea, November 12th through the 14th. Get your tickets online at theimprov.com. Or if you email me, whydidn'tthelaughpodcast@gmail.com, I'm pretty sure I could get you a discount on the Sunday night show, for sure. I can. Like, half off or some shit. Or if you give me, like, a very compelling story as to why you have no money and can't pay, I can make it happen. Because I'd rather have you there than not there. But I also don't want to, you know, hookers don't jerk for free. You know what I'm saying? I'm also in Addison, Texas, which is basically Dallas. That will be the weekend of Thanksgiving. I won't be there on Thanksgiving. I will be eating turkey with my family. But the Friday and Saturday, and I believe Sunday, I will be there. And I also have another new date. Let me take a look here. I have to read this one message. Everyone says not to engage with trolls because it gives them power. But it really, in this context, it doesn't, because I just want you guys to understand why so many comedians just can't stand the PC police and the social justice warriors, the white knights. It, I mean, you can't believe the stuff that we get sent to us. Like people literally would not believe what we have to read. This person wrote to me that they were really disappointed in me. Okay. You kept going on. Look, I find this funnier than when I did it as a joke, because when you hear your own joke come back to you as a serious complaint, it's insanely funny. You kept going on about how women should just suck and fuck us all to keep men less aggressive and we'll be a happier society. This just lends a hand in condoning a behavior that objectifies women into being sexual objects even more so. And I hope is in all caps, by the way, you were joking about the idea of two men, one for sensitivity and the other for fucking. Or the idea that two vaginas on one woman would be great. Like, all of these could be jokes, but the problem is you keep going on about studies show, and that's a fact. It's pretty appalling. I don't mean to come off as attacking you, as I said, but the whole diatribe on sex made it really seem like you were pushing for women to be more sexualized than anything else. And I hope you take into consideration, the more slight jokes about sexualizing women continue, the more people devalue women and regard them as sexual beings. It's already happened, and it just seems to get worse with people taking sexism so lightly. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a man writing me this. And the two vaginas thing, guess what? That's real. I was talking about ducks. A lot of animals have developed multiple vaginas that they use to distract rapey penises so that they don't get pregnant by rapists. It's super, super funny that they're ducks. Yeah, this guy. I mean, it doesn't bother me at all to get these type of messages. I find them really funny. But it does make me want to, like, just point by point break down how dumb and wrong they are. But it doesn't do anything because they're so dumb and wrong that they'll never understand. Like, that dude, the world has been ruined by guys that women don't want. It's a fact. Like, these guys think that they know stuff, and they don't. Listen, women don't want to be sexualized in a lot of situations. Most, you know? But they do want to in a lot. This dude clearly doesn't have a girlfriend or wife or fiance or one night stand or whatever that just wants his dick, because that's a different story. They don't want to be sexualized. Yeah, they do. If they want you, they do. If they don't want you, they don't. That's kind of the whole deal, I think. I think that a lot of these men that are quote unquote sticking up for women, just women don't want to fuck these guys. So that's why they have these opinions. Because in their life, women don't want to be sexualized. But for men that women want, or even just one woman, I'm not even pluralizing. I'm not making it seem like all women. But like, if a guy is with a girl and she really wants him, she wants to be sexualized by him, and vice versa. A lot of these little pricks, women have always been like, don't sexualize me. Like, we're human. But because they don't want to be fucked by these guys. So then they see male comedians doing a joke. I mean, my joke about jizz causing all the world's problems is not at all sexist. It's basically saying, you know, women can be whatever they want. Just remember, you got to drain the evil out of their man's balls. Because the joke is basically about monogamy, where it's like, if you're with a guy and his balls just keep getting filled with jizz and he's not allowed to bone other chicks, that's what leads to war. So if you're going to be a true patriot, you can be president, you can be CEO. No one's trying to take your rights, but drain the evil. No one's trying to say Caitlyn Jenner isn't a woman, but she's not a very good woman, in my opinion. So listen, little buddy who wrote me this note, and the countless others that all male comedians receive, just know that your perspective is from a place of weakness and cowardice. And it's only like, listen, maybe women don't want to fuck you because you're so arrogant. Like, that you think you have the right to write people like me and my friends these opinions. I can't imagine what you're like on a date to women. Like, that you think you know things. You know nothing. You don't know a thing. Ah, God. All right. That's enough of that. Sunday, 11/22. Sunday, November 22nd, 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Main room of Flappers in Burbank, Los Angeles. That I can definitely get you half off from. So, or if you just want to get full tickets online, you can do that. But if you just email me at whydidn'tthelaughpodcast@gmail.com or tweet me or whatever, I can hook that up. Because that's fun. That's just going to be in town. If I don't have to travel a lot, I get less bitchy about comps. But if I have to drive more than an hour or fly, I mean, you got to give me a compelling story why you don't have cash. What else is going on? Anything else for me to talk about before I get the fuck out of here? My dog is sitting on my lap right now, and he's really warming my wiener. It's a real wiener warmer. He's a real penis puppy. Any good book? Oh, Hardcore History just came out with another podcast. So check that out. That dude is so good. They're almost like audiobooks. It's called King of Kings. It's all about Sparta. But yeah, subscribe to this podcast. Rate it. Comment it. Spread it around. Let me know what's going down. Because you guys are awesome. I've said this before, and I truly mean it. I think the people that listen to this podcast and write to me are some of the funniest, smartest people out there. It's legit touching. And you don't even know how smart you are, and that's what makes you smart. One Direction. All right, much love. Peace.